Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN. Out of Northfield, Minnesota, it'll be 50 years in September for 1080 AM and now 95.1 FM, The One. 5 minutes after 9 o'clock, the time on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and today is the 21st day of March, and the year is 2018, and it's below freezing and a little bit cloudy. Today I'm going to do something that I very rarely do, and that I have a guest that's going to join me by way of telephone and find out all about that individual and what he does for a living. And it's Mr. Dayton. How about that? Wait a minute. I should say it's Jeff Dayton. And Jeff, welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed your Rebel Rouser theme music there.
That, of course, Dwayne Eddy, 1958.
Yep, and I had the pleasure of getting to know Dwayne a little bit, and I've been at several shows with him, and what a super guy.
All right, let's kind of set up the background here so people know whom I'm speaking to. And Jeff Dayton, right now I'm talking to you. This is kind of interesting. You're in Minnetonka right now, but the telephone number I called is Nashville, Tennessee. And what's the story? What do you do for a living?
Well, I am a musician, full-time artist out of Nashville, singer, songwriter, and producer. I tour all over the country with a show called Salute to Glenn Campbell. And my connection to Glenn is that I was his band leader for 15 years. I spent the years from 1987 until 2002 at his side, playing shows everywhere from the White House to, you know, the Today Show and all the theaters and county and state fairs that we did. And I'm in Minnesota currently for a show this weekend, but today I'm continuing a three-week residency in Minnetonka schools with another facet of my career, and that is the songwriting residency that I do with fifth graders. And we're doing a concert of original songs that these fifth graders wrote on Friday, so we're prepping for that.
Well, that sounds like a pretty exciting career, and I can go all different ways with this. And first of all, I think you perked the ears up of people that are fans of Glenn Campbell. And, of course, we all have, not all of us, but many of us had seen that movie, basically, of Glenn Campbell in his waning years. Were you involved at that time?
Yes, I was. I was part of the filming for that, and there are a number of special features that haven't been released yet, including some interviews with me and some others. But I was credited in the film for the work we did, and I was present at his concerts at the Ryman, which were part of the last tour, and that was the most recent time I've seen Dwayne Eddy. As a matter of fact, he and his wife were there to honor Glenn.
Well, let's get the ego part over with. Tell me a little bit more about Dwayne Eddy before we go to back to Glenn Campbell. Of course, in 1958, I was a sophomore in high school, and when Dwayne Eddy came out with Rebel Rouser and many other tunes, people would always ask me, are you related? And I say, well, yeah, that is my cousin. And I kind of rode that for, well, a whole bunch of years now, and I don't really know that much about him.
Well, I don't know his deep background story at all either, Wayne, but he's an awfully nice guy, and he's got a beautiful series of Gretsch guitars. The first time we met was in Scottsdale, Arizona, and there was a jam session, an official jam session, with some of the legendary guys of swing and Western music, including one of the Sons of the Pioneers, a great guitar player named Thumbs Carlisle, and Dwayne was there. Lives in Vegas, at the last I heard, and I think he's still in the Vegas area. But, you know, once you've had a big hit and a big career like that, I think you can always go find work.
I'll tell you
what he's doing.
Well, I like to call it the casino rounds.
Yeah, that's another part of it. You're right. You're right. A lot of guys work casinos. I did a lot of casinos with Lee Greenwood when I was in his band.
Oh, yeah.
And I played with another guy people might have heard of, Kenny Chesney, but he's a little past casinos right now. He's selling out stadiums, and he was a lot of fun to work with, too. I spent a year with him.
Once again, my guest this morning is musician Jeff Dayton, and he has a pretty interesting career going. And I'm going to hop all over the place and jump to things that as I think of them. And now you work out of Nashville, and I got to ask you if you've ever met Pete Wozniak.
I have met Pete. Pete was in Vince Gill's band, or has been for quite a while. And, yeah, has he got a local Minnesota connection?
Pete Wassner grew up in Northfield, graduated from Northfield High School. He has a brother named Craig Wassner, who's an outstanding musician and producer. And, I've known Pete for, oh my gosh, it must be 50 years now.
Well, he's one of Vince's main guys. He's been with Vince forever. And, you know, there are a couple other guys from Minnesota that have been in and out of Vince's band. One guy named Russ Paul from Maple Plain, who is one of the top call steel guitar players in Nashville. He's down there in Nashville. And a couple others. Joey Schmidt, who was with Lawrence Welk in the old days, but I think he's originally from the Dakotas, maybe not Minnesota. Yep.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Minnesota. I grew up in Long Lake, Minnesota. Or Orno. It was Orno School District, Long Lake City, but was at a mailing address, so I kind of trilexic or whatever, you know.
What year did you get out of high school?
I graduated just in time.
You're not going to give it up, huh?
Well, you know, someday they'll dig it up. Somebody has it on the internet somewhere, but and I'm hoping that when I do get to walk up and accept my Grammy or whatever award I finally get, that'll be a big surprise to everybody that I'm as old as I am. I do know this, though, Wayne. I'm older than I've ever been.
All right. I accept that.
The comedy aside.
Yeah. It's better to celebrate birthdays than not, and at least recognize the fact. Once again, Jeff Dayton is my guest here on KYMN Radio, an original Minnesotan, now producing, writing, and singing. Are you also a singer?
Oh, yes, sir. Been singing every show. When we do the Salute to Glenn Campbell show, we reassemble some of the guys that played with Glenn and a couple of guys that knew him, and we do his hits, and it's very much like the shows that we did live with him. And I was the band leader with Glenn, so when we would do sound checks with, you know, a symphony orchestra or something like that, the Cincinnati Orchestra or the York, Pennsylvania, or the Edmonton, Alberta Orchestra or the Nashville Symphony, I would sing in all the sound checks. And I'm grateful that, he found me as a band leader, and he knew that I could sing, so we ended up doing duets. In fact, there are a couple of hee-haw things that I'm singing with him, singing harmony with him and doing a duet. So people want to get into the internet a little bit, it's there.
Are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah. Digging the internet. If I were to take a break if I can figure out how to do it, what would I do to find something that I could possibly put up on the air?
There's a song called You Will Not Lose on Hee Haw. So if you go to YouTube, you can probably play the audio from that. It's called You Will Not Lose. It's a song that Alan Toussaint wrote, who was the guy who wrote Southern Nights, and he also wrote Mother-in-Law, which was a big hit. I think it was Dr. Hook. And there's a clip on there of Glenn, and Glenn introduces me as his duet partner. That was really a big honor.
Well, I'm trying to do it right now, and I am not a computer guy. And so I'm not going to get it done. Maybe I can get somebody in here to do that for me.
Sure.
Oh, okay. It isn't working for me. And I'm an old guy here, so I'm not that big on computers, although they do wonders. And I have worked this before, but do you double-click Google so you can get to YouTube?
Just if you're in the Google search bar, just type in YouTube. And then when you get to YouTube, go to their search bar and type in You Will Not Lose, and you'll see a thumbnail pop-up of Glenn Campbell.
Okay, and, what's happening now is I can't get the Google thing to go. Oh, well, maybe somebody else. Once again, Jeff Dayton is my guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. I'm getting to know him just as you are. Jeff and I, how did we end up making a date, by the way?
Well, it started with the show coming up this weekend. I'm playing Zumbrota for the first time. And, you know, living in the Twin Cities in the 70s, where there's your clue to my age, we were playing all over the five-state area, but a lot of Minnesota and a lot of southern Minnesota. I lived in Marshall for 3 years, right into college, and we played all the, little towns and stuff around there. We even played the Rathskeller in the old days down in Mankato.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But We're playing the State Theater in Zumbrota this Saturday night with the Salute to Glen Campbell. The show's at 7:30 p.m., and it's in promotion in conjunction with the people that call themselves Crossings at Carnegie. And it's their concert series, and they've invited me to come in, and so we're hoping for a big turnout.
Well, I think perhaps then what happened is here you're part of the marketing effort, and you want to get people to in the doors, and KYMN Radio here might be a good vehicle to use to let people know. And as you probably, I don't know if you're aware of how I do my show, it's all about the individual, and so I might start asking you questions from your youth, etc. How does that sound?
Works for me.
Okay.
I'm all about talking to folks.
All right.
Somebody said to me, "Are you okay with a meet and greet?" And I said, if I was uncomfortable talking to people, I'd be in a different business.
Well, I got another one to drop on you, a nice name, and I don't know if you're aware of the name. Name is Jerry Lance. Have you heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Well, he was my guest on Monday, and he is the conductor of the Rochester Symphony Orchestra.
Oh.
Pretty cool, huh?
Great gig he's got. Yeah, I'll say.
Been That's there for 30 years.
Really?
Can you imagine that?
The economic reality of symphony orchestras these days is that any orchestra that's still together is a modern miracle in a lot of ways. The costs of the musicians and the funding and the licensing and just the travel and all that stuff, that's pretty daunting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know several symphony musicians all around the country, and I was a cellist at Southwest State, so I studied to be, I was an orchestra cellist, and I played chamber orchestra, and of course I involved the cello in my pop music in those days, but I understand, it's a different career from the one I'm in, but it definitely has its challenges, and my hat's off to Jerry and everybody down there in Rochester.
And I mentioned if you're the conductor, and he does arrangements and does rehearsals and auditions and all of that, but they also laid the CEO title on him also. I just said also twice. But anyhow, I was telling him, gee whiz, to do all the work of a maestro for a symphony orchestra, on one hand, you have a baton, and in the other hand, you have you're reaching out for sponsors, and that can sometimes be pretty tough work to do.
Yeah, but I'm a big believer in funding for the arts, and I know Minnesota leads the charge as far as being champions of things, arts-based things, community-based activities and performances. Public television and radio. I mean, Minnesota is just a great role model for all of that.
So. And, of course, we have that right here in Northfield, Minnesota with the Arts Guild. And then down in Faribault, they have a wonderful place called the Paradise. And my guest this morning is Jeff Dayton, and he's going to be making an appearance in Zumbrota. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
State Theater Saturday night, yeah.
Okay, we'll keep talking about that. And in the meantime, I'm going to talk a little bit about a place called the Quarterback Club here in Northfield. I just saw Dale Finger, the guy that owns and operates the Quarterback Club, and also was there in his high school years as an employee. And Dale just stopped by. We said hello, and it reminds me that they're open until 10 o'clock for breakfast, so you can stop in any morning, Monday through Saturday, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. for the best of breakfast in Northfield. And, of course, then you go to your luncheon menu. They had those delicious hamburgers that are flame-broiled, only place in town that does that. But for sure, support your local restaurant, the Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in downtown Northfield, Minnesota, the home of those delicious baby back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness just oozing all over them in the form of their very special sauce. The QB, the Quarterback Club. Jeff Dayton is my guest here this morning on KYMN Radio. He is a songwriter. He is a singer. He is an instrumentalist. He is a director. And he is going to be in our area coming up this weekend. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But, Jeff, I'd like to mention when you were touring with Glen Campbell on his final tour, I mean, it had to be a pretty sad deal, but then again, a pretty happy deal based on the film that I saw. What was your personal feelings in regards to that tour?
Well, the band that finished the tours and finished his career with him was largely made up of his children. That was a change that was made, I think around 2012 or something like that, maybe earlier. And I had finished touring with him, but I was still signed as a writer with his publishing company for a good while after I left the road. And regardless, it was difficult to watch a dear friend like Glenn, somebody who had mentored me, who had kidded me, who had challenged me, who had, you know, coached me in so many ways. In fact, it's the kind of coach that you don't even realize that you're being coached until you turn around and look at your performance change and you go, wow, I got something from Glenn I didn't even know he gave me. And it was so, it was such a long slide. His struggle with Alzheimer's is well documented. And of course, you know, there were so many shows like CBS Sunday Morning and things like that, and the movie I'll Be Me. You know, just to watch him kind of devolve into a guy who really didn't know where he was and what he was doing there. I had a wonderful final visit with Glenn at his care center, his memory care center in Nashville. The family had moved from California to Nashville and about Christmas time one year, and I don't think Glenn knew where he was. I think he just was with people he loved, and that was what mattered most to him. And then shortly thereafter, they moved him to a full-time care facility. And we had a good visit, Wayne. We had a wonderful, friendly time, and we laughed a little and cried a little and talked a little and played a little. But it was a good final day for the book that we had together, that we shared.
I probably will be able to answer this correctly, but I'll let you answer it. When you were the band leader and you were touring with Glenn Campbell, what was the most requested song or the encore?
Well, the song that everybody really loved most, it seemed, was Wichita Lineman.
Oh.
That was the one that people, you know, we closed a lot with songs like God Bless the USA. Sometimes we would close with Rhinestone Cowboy, which is what we do with our show. But sometimes Glenn was a guy who didn't really stop to worry about show order, if you will, in a set list and things like that. He just played from the hip, and if he wanted to change something, he changed it. Wow. So it was very spontaneous with him, and I really loved that.
I would have guessed Rhinestone Cowboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great one, and that's a great closer for us, too. I mean, we really, really get, you know, people jump up to their feet, and it's, the response to the show, as when I'm sitting at the helm, has been fabulous. But when you were Glenn Campbell, it was unbelievable.
Now, you mentioned Lee Greenwood and God Bless the USA. And I have to tell you that we had a National Broadcast Association convention in Las Vegas. And big, of course, dining room and then entertainment following the meal. And it just so happens that we were sitting very close to the stage. And they introduced this guy I'd never heard of before, Lee Greenwood. And they said that he is going to introduce a new song to you. You'll be the first ones to hear this, and then we're going to go with the marketing, etc. And, of course, it was God Bless the USA. And I thought, wow, was I lucky to be there, to be one of the first to ever hear that song.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Wayne. That was a landmark song for him, and it made his career what it is today. Irony of that for me is that with Glenn Campbell, we had a big part of our show with God Bless the USA, especially in Branson, and the flag would drop behind us, and it was a big patriotic cheer out of the crowd, and we did that for years and years and years. And then after I left Glenn, I got a call from a friend who said, man, our guitar player busted his hand, and we need somebody like Yesterday. Can you come out on the road with Lee Greenwood? And so for the next 3 years, I was playing guitar with Lee Greenwood, the writer of the song and the original artist, singing God Bless the USA every night. So it just kept going and going. It was really fun.
Well, what in regards to the guitar, what guitar were you, a bass, rhythm, what was your role?
Well, in today's music scene, you've got to play all of them. So if you play six-string guitar, you're on acoustic, you're on electric, you're on baritone guitar, you might be doubling on mandolin or banjo, or any. I play ukulele as well, and anything that we need for the song, if it's got strings, it's my job.
Well, you know, I had a guy in studio here, I think it was last Thursday, and a band called Chance Meetings, and he had a guitar that if you wanted to, he could play yakety yak, don't talk back with the saxophone. He could do violins, organs, oboes, anything you wanted on a guitar. I was kind of amazed by that.
Wow. Yeah, that's something I'd like to hear about.
I mean, he could.
That sounds great.
It's like one of those synthesizers that you can make it be whatever you want it to be, but it was with a guitar. I thought that was pretty cool. Jeff Dayton is my guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And Jeff Dayton is a songwriter, a singer, an instrument player, and a tourer for a lot of things. But more importantly, in his career right now, what he's doing is going to schools. Is it throughout the nation or throughout Minnesota?
It has been. It started in Minnesota with a teacher in Stillwater Schools who really was impressed with the way I connected with kids, and she proposed a residency that would last 1 week, and she got it funded right off the bat, and it's been running. That was my eighth year in Stillwater this year for that program. They had me a total of 7 weeks last year, which was just outstanding. And it spread from there through other teachers who had heard about it or had worked with that teacher to Minnetonka schools, and I'm at Clear Springs Elementary in Minnetonka this week as a third of my 3 weeks at that school. It's also been at Blake. It's been at another Minnetonka school called Minnewashta. It's coming to its third year at two different schools in the Cottage Grove School District in St. Paul Park. And it's been in Chicago. It's been in Paducah, Kentucky, and Pensacola. It's just, you know, there are more places ahead, but it's really a fun, interactive, real-time experience for kids who don't normally encounter songwriters.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is take a brief break, and when we come back, Jeff Dayton, why don't you tell us how you conduct the class and how you introduce these kids to the idea of writing songs and other efforts that you make when you go to these schools. We'll be right back with Jeff Dayton right after this important timeout.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday at the Healthy Sports Center in Woodbury. See up to 150 home improvement experts. The Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday only in Woodbury. It's the smart place to start your home improvement project. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
Dennis Kirk brings you the 31st annual Donnie Smith Bike and Car Show, presented by Geico, Lucas Oil, Russ Brown, Indian Motorcycle, and Sturgis Buffalo Chip. This is Zep, and I'm coming home for this one. Join me Saturday and Sunday, March 24th and 25th at the St. Paul River Center. Don't forget about the Swap Meet, Tattoo Expo, and join me for the Budweiser Happy Hour Saturday night featuring Corey Stevens live. More info at DonnieSmithBikeShow.com. The party really gets started Friday night, March 23rd. It's the thrills and spills of indoor flat track racing at the State Fairgrounds. 6 to 10 Friday night, March 23rd. Sponsored by Dennis Kirk, Geico, Sturgis Buffalo Chip, Russ Brown, Lucas Oil, and S&S Cycle. IndoorFlatTrackRacing.com.
And take your adventures off-road at the Outdoor Life Expo, March 24th and 25th in Warner Coliseum at the State Fairgrounds, featuring all the latest in four-wheelers, ATVs, UTVs. Admission is just $12 for adults. Children under 12 are free. OutdoorLifeExpo.com.
We're coming back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, and it is 9:29 and a half. My guest this morning is singer, songwriter, instrumentalist, and Minnesota native with offices in Nashville and Minnetonka. Playing a little bit of music you might be familiar with, am I right, Mr. Dayton?
I'm loving that. A little Bee Gees for us there.
Yeah. Well, it's a number one hit of all of 1978, 40 years ago.
That's great.
Yeah, I hope
you keep it. You're keeping it current there, aren't you, Wayne?
Okay. You know what I actually did? I jumped on the computer here, and I did get to YouTube in a minute or five or ten. You can tell me how to get to where we can pick up some of the stuff that you do. But let's talk about this interesting situation in regards to teaching young kids how to write music. First of all, what grades?
I'm working with fifth grades primarily, but I've worked with entire schools, and we also have it available for corporate adults as well. Sometimes that kind of a meeting experience works out.
So take me through a day. You get the job, and they say, I want you to report on Monday at what time, and then how long?
Well, it's over a week or 2 weeks, depending on how many kids. There are so many fifth graders at this particular school that we have it spread out over a three-week thing, and we touch on a lot of songwriting topics, including royalties, including copyright, including marketing, publicity, and things like that. But we mostly concentrate on the interactive part of building equal teams where there are no ball hogs, no superstars, no bench warmers or flunkies. We make it a level playing field for everyone, and I show them how to work out title ideas. I show them a lot of things that, you know, playground behavior doesn't work in a team effort, so we have to sort out some of that. And then they get to work writing their own lyrics, and I make the analogy that their lyrics are like Legos. Bring the ideas, you know, bring me a big bucket of Legos, all your ideas, and we'll just put them in a bucket and shake them up, and then we'll see what order we can put them in to make sense.
Do you have melodies already introduced to them so they can get that rhythm in rhyme?
Nope, not at all. It's up to them, and they sometimes want a genre. For example, the boys want a rock out. So we have a song called Bring the Noise, and I put my best rock and roll sort of AC/DC meets, you know, Montgomery Gentry. And somewhere between, it's an acoustic guitar, so it's bound to sound somewhat country, but they get a chance to really create something that they're proud of, and I make it sound as much like what they want as I can. So I listen to them.
Well, I got a couple of questions that you're teaching the kids, and I think it will be interesting for the general public to know, because it is sometimes an irritant. At one time, I had the privilege of owning this radio station, and the two things I hated more than anything was, number one, writing out a check for ASCAP, and number two, writing out a check for BMI, and number three, keeping logs for several weeks for BMI. Why don't you explain people how that works, especially with people like yourself that are writing music and, you know, directing bands and singing?
The whole radio royalty system is based on the fact that the creators of music, songwriters and composers and publishers, have a property that gets exploited by various retail outlets, including radio. And so the licensing that happens at radio and at things like Muzak and on YouTube and television and all that is a way to compensate the writers for their work. And same with the record companies. They put out records, and when records sell, they pay a royalty to the various artists and composers and things. And in live performances, every time you go into a bar, like if you're downtown and you go to some big club and there's a lot of music playing, they're paying a license fee to BMI or ASCAP, or the third is called CFAC. It's a much smaller one. And then the writers get compensated for their work, and that's how writers make a living. So I'm very much a supporter of that. I'm a member of BMI.
And, of course, the writers make more money than the performers in regards to a cut into the dollars, right?
Well, today's money on a big hit, yes. Yesterday's money on an album cut, yes. But the only money that really, really matters today is a single. And that's why you'll see so many artists' names on singles, because they know that there's a share of the profit in that, whether they had something to do with writing it or not sometimes, which is kind of too bad.
Well, the perfect example of that would be Elvis Presley and Colonel Parker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he put his name on everything. Well, not everything, but almost everything to get those rights.
Well, Well, you know, the good thing is that songwriting continues to be an American tradition, and we have a great legacy of people like Jimmy Webb and Paul Williams and Burt Bacharach and, you know, going on back. I got to meet Livingston and Evans, who were the songwriting duo that wrote Mona Lisa, and that they wrote Silver Bells, which is a great Christmas song.
Whoa.
And that, you know, when you get a chance to look at history and you look at the writers and all that, you understand that these guys could have never pursued their craft if it weren't for some kind of, you know, payment. And that's how we get it, is when it plays on the radio, and you guys are spinning, you know, one of my songs at radio, there's a little tiny check waiting for me every 3 months, which I'm very, very grateful for.
Well, I'll tell you a story that I did hear. I don't know if you will know these two Northfield natives. One had a hit on Billboard, and she had a number one hit in 1972, and Elvis Presley was number two. So do you have any idea who Marilyn Sellers is?
Yes. In fact, my mom knew Marilyn Sellers. My mom was Patty Strong, Patty Dayton, and then Patty Strong. And yes, and she had One Day at a Time, right?
Yes.
And her song was written by a woman that I knew in Nashville named Mary John Wilkin. And she was the one who wrote Heartbreak Hotel, I think, or published it, too.
You're kind of fading in and out. I don't know if you're moving about, but anyhow, yes, she had One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus, and she's a regular here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And I've got another one for you. Have you ever heard Paladin, Paladin, Where Do You Roam?
Oh, that's an oldie. Who yeah. was that?
A guy by the name of Johnny Westerlin, but he changed his name to Johnny Western. And he had a lot of years under his belt performing with great people, including Glenn Campbell.
Wow. What a great story. And he's from Northfield?
He's from Northfield, Minnesota. You betcha.
Oh, that's just great. That's great, Wayne. I love that. You know, we have another fairly famous Minnesotan in the Salute to Glenn Campbell show that we've been talking about. His name is Dale Strength. And I'll tell a quick story on Dale, if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Minneapolis. He's been here all his life. But he had a bunch of friends that called him up and said, hey, we're down at this studio, and we need to ask if we can take your Hammond organ and your speaker for some rehearsals with a new artist that we're working with. And he said, sure. So he loaded up the truck, and he brought the Hammond and the Leslie speaker down to Moon Sound in South Minneapolis, the early 70s, and the guys brought it inside, and as he was leaving, there was a girl with blonde hair sitting outside just all by herself in the grass, and she looked over, she says, I noticed you're wearing cowboy boots. And he said, yeah. And she goes, does that mean you play country music? And he said, yes. And she says, can you play it better than those guys in there? And he said, yeah, I can. Can you get me a band by tomorrow? And he said, sure. It was Olivia Newton-John. And
oh,
she was preparing for her very first tour.
Wow.
And she was managed and booked by a company here in Minneapolis.
Wow. That's,
and Dale became her band leader for many, many years. He and Greg Inhofer and a couple of the other guys toured with her for a long, long time.
Great story. We're talking to a fellow named Jeff Dayton, and his business is in Nashville, but he is in Minnetonka right now, where he is working with fifth graders and telling them all about music and how it becomes a radio hit and how to write, and nobody's wrong. How about that? How to write and nobody's wrong.
I like that. You might think about moving to Nashville with a mind like that, Wayne. That's great stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm currently in the car now. I'm heading to school to work with the kids again. We've got another day of preparation. We're shooting videos, and we're getting these songs all polished up for our concert for the parents and the kids in school on Friday.
How many minutes away are you from that school?
About five.
Well, I'm going to ask you to go ahead. And I've got YouTube, and now what's the first thing I should type in there?
Type in Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell. Okay, no, remember, I'm a guy that doesn't know how to type. Well, maybe you don't know that till just now. Glenn Campbell, K-I-C-A-M.
Huh. And
it's Glenn, screwed around on me.
Glenn with one N.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't get it. I'll take a final break here. That's because it. I know you got to get on going. So we'll take a break and come back and do a wrap, all right?
All right, Wayne.
All right. Jeff Dayton, my guest on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, a friend you can count on.
At Apple Chevrolet Buick, they consider their seven value promises to be the core values that bring you a car buying experience like no other. One of those is valuing our people.
The leadership of this company is very in tune to making people feel needed, and that is just a great feeling. They definitely involve their employees, and when you feel part of the team, you will succeed.
That was Larry Anthony, just one of the Apple Chevrolet Buick employees who are there to serve you.
You thought you could make a midnight run to the store for a loaf of bread. What you got was a minor fender bender instead. I'm State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell in Northfield, and I know that accidents can happen anytime. That's why we give you 24-hour good neighbor service, so night or day, help is just a phone call away. For your insurance and financial needs, phone me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is.
Okay, you can name that tune, Jeff.
Oh, darn it. I haven't got far enough into it to name it. Is it Lionel Richie's song, isn't it?
Yes. Well, the Commodores at the time.
Yes. And I think Kenny Rogers covered this also, yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
It's not one. It's not two. It's three.
Three times a lady.
Amen.
There we go.
There's something.
Lionel Richie, now a judge on American Idol. How about that?
Yeah, and he actually came to Nashville last year and did a big project of duets with country guys, including Billy Currington and Dierks Bentley, who is a big, big artist. And boy, it sounds good, and Lionel still has it, man. I tell you what, those tracks that they cut with Tony Brown and all the different producers, Dan Huff, that are there, it's one of the reasons I live in Nashville, Wayne, and the musicianship is top shelf, bar none, and the great players from all over moved there because they know that we've got the scene. Minneapolis is a great city. Atlanta, Seattle, Chicago, those are all great, and New York and L.A. are obviously the big, big two, but there's nothing like Nashville, and everybody who is a country singer-songwriter knows that they've got to make Mecca and come to Nashville to record there, or at least write with us down there, and that's one of the other reasons I'm there, is that it's the place to be.
Hey, what is that really nice suburb of Nashville?
Well, there's Brentwood, which is where a lot of folks go.
No, that's not the one.
Yeah, and then Franklin.
Yep, Franklin, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It was
a Civil War battle, big battle in the Civil War that turned the tide against the South.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, one more time, where are you going to be this weekend, and what's it all about?
Saturday night in Zumbrota, Minnesota. I will be at the State Theater Zumbrota, or with this, I forget how the name goes, but it's Zumbrota State Theater. The show is called Salute to Glenn Campbell. Bring a fellow alumni from Glenn's band and a couple other guys who knew Glenn, and we play his hits. We tell stories about what Glenn was really like. They're all first-person stories, so you can count on hearing about how the song got to Glenn, how the what he was like on the road and in the airplane and on backstage, and we just have a great time. And of course, we always cover his Alzheimer's in his slide from us. One woman said to me, "We lose them by inches, don't we?" And we cover that. And we'll be there at 7:30 Saturday night in Zumbrota State Theater, and we'd love to see a big turnout. And if your listeners want to come, there are still tickets available at crossings@carnegie.com, or they can just get tickets at the door.
All right. One last thing here. Did you know Bob Wooten?
Bob Wooten.
Yeah.
I know that name. Why do I know that name?
Well, he traveled and played guitar for Johnny Cash for 30 years.
That's where I know that name. Is he another local guy?
No. He passed away 2 years ago, but he had was on my show about three times live, and I never had more fun than listening to him cover Johnny Cash, along with a fellow named Brandon Sampson, who has a band called 6 Mile Grove. But anyhow, here's the deal, Jeff. When you are able to come down and visit in studio and do the two-hour show and bring some CDs and your guitar or whatever, will you do that?
Absolutely. Let's make a date. I'll be back in May, so let's grab a date then.
Okay.
And I'll have some music from the album The Glen Connection, which is my latest CD, and it's available on iTunes and all the different streaming, Amazon and Apple and all that. And I'll bring a guitar, and we can sing some things live.
All right, then you pick the date in May, and I'll put it in my book. Pick a couple of dates so we make sure it's not already used, okay?
You got it, buddy.
Thank you very much.
So much time on the air today.
Oh, somebody wants to know, are you related to the Daytons?
I am. I'm the grandson of George II, and Mark Dayton is my dad's second cousin. So second cousin once removed to me.
All right. Thank you very much, Jeff, and good luck down in Zumbrota.
Thanks so much for the time, and y'all keep listening to Wayne Edy.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. It is 13 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Edy Affair on KYMN, a friend of Dan Caldahan. We continue with music from 1978.
Was chasing